I started doing this project because I couldn't afford to do a theater. I had just started with my new company. I had to give it a 3-year in time before I can get federal and local and city funds. So I thought, I can't not make work. So, and I can't afford the tech costs in a theater. So that's how I started doing site-specific work. And I've really fallen in love with it. It's just so... it's so amazing. It isn't about you anymore. It's about something other than you, which is that whole issue of space and containment and context for your dance. So I mean, that's basically what we do on stage anyway. We bring in sets and props and try to make it specific. So I don't have to do that. I just bring the people out to the most interesting places that we can dance.
This is the 7th annual Gene Isaacs San Diego Theater Trolley Dance. Has anybody been here before? Very good. Well, thanks for coming back, and thank you for everybody who's here for the first time as well. I want to make sure everybody's got their pass in order to get on to the trolley. Looks like everybody's got that on. We're going to be starting in just a couple minutes. For those of you who have just...
we did it the first year really not expecting a lot, and I think we were probably delighted and surprised with the response from the ridership and from non-riders who came out to experience dance in a new and unique setting that the trolley offered. And I think that initial response is really what's fueled her ability to bring it back year after year, and our ability to continue to build new extensions and make new stations has also added to the fun and freshness of the program. And so this year she was on the Green Line exploring some of the trolley's most spectacular stations, like here at Grantville.
This line, the Green Line, is brand new and wonderful, spectacular big sites. So they pick the line, and then once I've chosen the choreographers, we go out together on the line, and then they tell us what sites. And then we go into the job of negotiating with the powers that be to see if we can get those sites for trolley dance. It doesn't always work, and sometimes the choreographer has to settle for second, third, or fourth choice. But that's how we start.
My job is, of course, to go ahead and get permission from these people. I mean, we've danced in hotel rooms, Omni Hotel last year. We've danced in fountains and libraries. You know, my job, I think the hardest and really most gratifying part is to seek permission so that these dancers, these choreographers can realize their, you know, their art.
Okay, all right, we're going to go ahead and start with Rebecca's dance. All right.
Every time I came here, a stranger ended up coming up and talking to me, which I thought was really interesting because that doesn't happen very often to me in San Diego. So I started thinking about the people that were here. I was very attracted to this site here. There's a homeless guy who sleeps right behind this pillar most mornings. And just started thinking about also a time that I took a walk down by the Y in Hazard Center, and there's an overpass, and I walked under there and I found this whole like homeless encampment, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is a whole village. And I felt really bad once I realized I was walking basically through someone's house, and I turned around and went back, and I had been thinking about that when I was here. And so I kind of had this idea about the forgotten people, and I was thinking a lot about war and government's responsibilities in war, which led me to corporations and their responsibility. And that's how I started working. Workshopped with the dancers. I came in with some pretty clear ideas about making something that looked like a machine.
Blah, extraordinary blahs.
was actually a little bit slow going because I had so many ideas and I had to try to find a way to condense them and not be all over the place. What appeals to me about site-specific work is sort of losing an element of control that you have in a proscenium. You know where people are going to sit. You know what the lighting's going to be like, or you hope you know anyway. And I get lost here, and so it's a big challenge, and I kind of like challenges. The other thing that appeals to me about working in a site is that it already suggests a lot of possibilities, and you need to figure out what those are and really bring them out. And it's hard. I think it's harder than working in a proscenium. And it takes me a long time to make a piece out here. but, you know, free rehearsal space whenever you want. So that's another good thing. I think the value for the audience being in some place like this is that they're in places like this all the time in their lives, and this might help them see the world in a different way. When you're in a theater, it's sort of removed from the rest of the world, but here you get this feeling of, well, maybe you come ride the trolley all the time, and every time you walk past her, you might think about what happened here. You might not. You might totally forget. But I think somewhere it gets stored and your perspective might shift about things. So, and, you know, I think the value of the random passerby as audience is that, you know, when just really strange things happen to you in your day, and I think those things are kind of invigorating and they keep you going. So, yeah, that's about it.
Our scouting adventure, I was just haunted by the new station. I couldn't get the imagery of it out of my mind and that environment out of my mind. And then I said, Wendy, you are out of your mind. Because how are you going to make a dance for that huge space? But that became a challenge for me, and I picked the station. Was particularly interested in was the opportunity to recreate a hyper experience of the regular experience of being a traveler going through a station. So how could the performance itself bring out, augment, and transform that ordinary experience of coming into a station on a train, getting off, finding out where you're going, coming into a station, waiting for the train, seeing other people there, that regular, everyday traveler's experience.
That one's coming.
opportunity of a site is the opportunity to capitalize on the way the viewer really creates their own performance out of where they put their attention, where they are literally in the space, but also emotionally, metaphorically, perceptually. And that's what I was working on in my piece. And that was my experiment also. Would there be a way that I could construct many opportunities to notice things, knowing that there would be no way anyone could see all of them? So I have things happening up in the mezzanine, potentially behind someone who's looking down below at this platform, where there's something going on that platform, whereas there's a dancer really coming down the elevator. And for people who aren't in the tour but are just walking by, one of the dancers is crossing overhead, dancing all the way. There was somebody embedded in the elevator who, once the doors closed, began to move. So that there were all these different opportunities for someone to notice something out of the ordinary and to find the dancing, a sort of Where's Waldo? Doesn't matter. I have two sites, and we did all the rehearsals right on the sites, and we really try to let the site inform us. So the Aztec sculpture, which is the new politically correct sculpture out at SDSU, the architecture of that space, which is very kind of harsh, the stones are harsh, it's made of obsidian, it gets really hot in the sun, and it has a significance symbolically with all those rocks from around the county. There's 100 rocks embedded in the sculpture. And then I somehow saw the site as also curved, there's concentric circles. So you use the architecture of the site to just tell you what should happen. It's also the hottest site. We've had some good weather here, but that site heats up. So we do a lot of things with like looking at the sun and acknowledging the verticality and the strength of the sun in that site.
Visiting one of the first times that platform and use SDSU, yes, I start thinking about the departure and when the trolley comes and arrives and then it goes with this long sound that it produces through the tunnel. it makes me like feeling this emptiness when somebody leaves and you're missing. And well, that begins to become the idea of the choreography of departing of somebody that you love in this particular case. And then I start working in the movement that produced me that sensation. The challenges that I faced was that, well, the dancers are used to dance on wood or theater circumstances, no? So I have to think that they're not going to be able to dance as freely as they do when they're dancing on cement. So I thought about that. So be careful with that kind of things, because suddenly we just like to move and like if we're just dancing for that time, but we're gonna be dancing several times, so you have to be careful with that kind of things, so you should, the dancers don't get hurt at the end. So, that was one thing, because it doesn't let you go all the way you would like to go, but when you have that kind of limits, you start finding other ways to get to say what you want to say with movement. So that was very rich for me, too.
Developed my piece in the studio. I didn't spend a whole lot of time at the site until the last two rehearsals. So mine is less, it's the first time I've done a site-specific piece, so mine is perhaps less, uses the space less than some of the other sites, but I kind of play off the idea of the trolley stop being like a train station. So the dancers are sort of waiting or for somebody to come or go at the train station, so that's sort of what I played with.
There's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining. Rained in my heart. The weatherman says clear today. He doesn't know you've gone away and it's raining.
Working than concert dance, where you're dealing with four kind of corners or four sides, and I've always worked in that way, and so for me it was really a challenge of allowing the space to help you motivate the creation of the piece. And it's something I would like to do more, because I realize there's a lot of opportunities and things that aren't there in a regular concert setting.
keeping it fresh, why it stays fresh, is this is our seventh year, and we've done six or seven dances a year, so that's almost 50 brand new dances. And only one time have we ever repeated a dance. So every year, once you make the site-specific piece, and this is what grabs my heart in a way, because I really like the piece on the Black Rock, but I can't imagine it having a life. How could I do that piece again? I think it's very, that idea of, it's like life. You just grab it while you have it. Maybe you all get great shots of it, and it'll be, you know, forever there in people's memory, but otherwise, it's gone. How could I make that piece? So there's something very ephemeral about it, and the pieces don't, I mean, occasionally a choreographer may rework a piece for the stage, and that would be nice, but in general, they're gone. And so it has to be fresh, because it's never going to be seen again. Source for next year for this project. I've been fortunate to have a lot of foundation and grant support, and so I can't do it without the funding because it is just too big. So I'm looking now, a year ahead of time, for some suggestions about who might want to sponsor this trolley dance project next year. Do something like coffee dances or river dances. There's a river conservancy here that might want to have dances along the river, but it will still be site specific. But whether we can continue with trolley dances without the support we've enjoyed, these are not such easy times for funding. So that's the future. I have lots of more ideas of where I'd like to go, but we'll see.